Let's go to junior doctors, though, today, who walked off wards in hospitals around the country.
Up to 3,000 junior doctors are set to walk off the job again.
Junior doctors have revealed just how tired they are as the 48-hour strike gets underway.
Junior doctors say they're spending their strike time catching up on sleep and study.
That was media reaction to industrial action by junior doctors earlier this year. For more, I spoke with the National Secretary of the Residential Doctors Association, Dr. Deborah Powell, and asked her what led up to the walkout.
Essentially, our concern was over fatigue. The doctors were working very, very long hours, long stretches of days in a row or nights in a row, and they were getting fatigued. Their own health and safety was at risk. That of their patients, you know, as you get fatigued and, you know, you just don't do a good job. And actually other members of the public, if the residents were driving home and fell asleep at the wheel, which was happening far too often, and then obviously the potential for having an accident and affecting just an innocent bystander was also. So, yeah, very long hours, long stretches of hours, long stretches of nights, and we were seeking to get those working hours reduced to a more manageable, less fatiguing ratio.
And what were some of the underlying problems behind this fatigue?
12 days in a row without a break, 16 hours a day and 70 hours of night shifts, often in an 11-day stretch. The doctors couldn't keep up with it. You know, the doctors are both mentally very active. You know, it's a very demanding mental job being a doctor. It's also a demanding physical job because we're running all over the hospital, of course. We can be down in ED and then up in the medical wards and then down to radiology. So we're actually physically very active as well. So the long hours with the demands of the job just was taking a toll on fatigue.
And how do we solve these problems? Is it just something as simple as just a whole lot more money, or is it more complicated?
It is complicated if you're in the sort of fatigue is starting to become a problem, because there are different ways you can resolve fatigue. So, for instance, I mean, everyone gets tired on a night shift. As human beings, we're not meant to be up at night. So how do we, you know, we have to be awake at night in a hospital because we're treating patients, obviously. So things like making sure that there's good supervision, that there are people around us that we can talk to, because obviously that helps keep you awake. Also keeps the patient safe because you're checking in with people. Having lights, the strategic use of caffeine, obviously, having a cup of coffee at the right time just to keep you going that little bit longer. Making sure you're sleeping well during the day before you actually go on to nights as well as you can, because of course we don't naturally sleep during the day as human beings, so we have to take steps to make sure we're getting as much sleep as we possibly can before we go on to the nights. With the problems the residents were having, however, we were doing 70 hours of night, so 7 10-hour night shifts in a row. All the research is quite clear. No more than 4 night shifts, maybe 5, but certainly no more than that, and we were doing 7. So we were at the very extreme end of the fatigue, and so the things that you would normally do to get you through the night was useless. We were just too tired. You know, another cup of coffee was not taking the dent off it. It was at the extreme end, hence that resulted in action. Where did we get to as a result of that? Better rosters. So going forward, we will only do 4 days of nights in a row. We will get sleep days after those nights to make sure that we recover before we go back to work. We won't work more than 10 days in a row, so day shifts. There will still be 16-hour days amongst those 10 days, but it's an improvement over 12 days. And we will make sure that those people also get 4 days off in a fortnight so that, again, they can recover before they come back to work. So for us, and the what I would say was a reasonably extreme situation that we were in, we did actually need to be at work less. That meant that we had to employ more doctors to cover the gaps. You know, if Dr. A isn't going to be there on Thursday, Friday, we're going to need another doctor to be there to look after the patients. So it did mean the employment of more resident doctors to cover, 144 resident doctors we estimated it would take to resolve these rosters, and that the process of employing those doctors and implementing those rosters is now underway in New Zealand. I think one of the things about the situation we ended up in was we'd been talking about it for 4 years. So we'd raised our concerns in 2012. We had a committee, for the want of a better word, looking into it in 2013, 2014. We brought it to the bargaining table in 2015 because we weren't progressing as quickly as we believed we needed to progress, did some more work on it, and then finally in 2016, obviously, back on the bargaining table, 4 years of work and basically very little action, we finally felt that we had to have a contractual obligation on our employers to improve the situation. I think that's a bit unfortunate. It was a clear fatigue problem. It was a clear health and safety issue for the doctors as well as for the patients they cared for. And our system should have been more responsive. It shouldn't have come to a strike, in our view. So I think that the failure of the district health boards to seriously tackle the clear fatigue issues when they were first raised was also part of our problem.